Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Gena, for the invitation. Technology is wonderful when it works, right? Somehow I don't see anybody, but that will be my first time preaching to my computer. So that will be okay. I'm Bulgarian. I can do that, okay? It is really a privilege to spend the Sabbath with you. And although it's via Zoom, now there's no wonder that I decided to speak about the disappointments because I'm disappointed that I'm here and could not fly to Calgary to see you. For one, I haven't seen snow for 3 years. I saw snow last time when I was at Calgary, and I really wanted to touch a snow. You know, that's a special experience. I know you think that I'm crazy, but I'm not joking. And two, I hear that there are a lot of Bulgarians in that church, you know, the troublemakers in a Calgary church. And so I'm missing all my friends. But that's life. You know, we have to go through disappointments. As I said, I'm happy to spend the Sabbath with you. Pastor Gena said to say something about my family. I have 3 boys. Two teenagers and one smaller guy, 7 years old, and he keeps us busy. Everybody is on Zoom, and, you know, we try to survive the times, okay? Today, let's talk about a little bit about Adventist history, because actually our movement, the Adventist movement, was born out of a disappointment. So disappointments are kind of inherited in our history, right? I'm sure if I ask Pastor Gena, although I don't see you, but if I ask him to go around with the mic, I'm sure that each one of you will have a story to tell, a story of disappointment, correct? I know that's true, because disappointments are part of our life. I had a friend, and he just had a post yesterday. He had a private wedding, okay? But you could read the post. He gave us some pictures to see from the beautiful beach here in San Diego. But he wrote something very interesting. He said, well, I'm really sorry for all my friends that you could not be with me, but I'm planning the big wedding celebration next year, hopefully. I mean, disappointments, they're part of our life. Now, I like soccer, okay? So I have to bring soccer. But my team last week, for the first time in its history, we lost to a really, really much lower team, 7-2, and I was deeply disappointed. Disappointments are part of life, and we cannot escape that. Now, the question that I want to explore, since we just celebrated 176 years since the Great Disappointment, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it. 2 days ago, October 22, remember? I want to explore the question, how do you deal with disappointments? How are we supposed to experience disappointments? How to go through disappointments? So what I plan to do is to give you 2 stories, and I will try to watch my watch so I don't go over time, okay? If not, you can just, you know, switch off the Zoom if I continue too long. But I'll have 2 stories trying to answer this question, and at the end, I will try to bring several perspectives of how we as Christians, how we as people, how we as Seventh-day Adventists can go through disappointments. Okay, so that will be our plan. So let's begin with the first story. If you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, please open to Luke chapter 24. Right in the middle of the chapter, you will find a story of a great disappointment. Okay, great disappointment. This is a story of 2 disciples. Probably one of them is Luke. We know the other name. It's Cleopas. But these two disciples were going to Emmaus. Okay, so if you go to your Bibles, you'll see in the middle on the road to Emmaus. That's the story. What is the context? Luke chapter 23, you have Jesus crucified. Okay? Jesus crucified. And you find these two disciples going to Emmaus, talking between themselves, but you can sense the disappointment. They are really, really disappointed. Why? Well, I mean, you're glad I'm not in the church because I'm a teacher and I like to ask questions. But can you think why they were disappointed? You remember the disciples, and not only the disciples, but the Jews expected the Messiah to come and do what with the Romans? To overthrow the Roman government and to establish the Jewish kingdom. That was in their mind, and now Jesus was in the grave. And they're walking, and you can sense in their tone, in their conversation, that they're disappointed. Go to verse 15, okay? So they're walking, just imagine that. They're walking, they're talking, and as they discuss, the Bible says these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, okay? Imagine they're walking in this area of Palestine. They're walking, and it's hot, okay? It's not Calgary. And Jesus joins them. But they kept from recognizing him. They didn't recognize him. And then he asked them a very interesting question. He said, what are you guys talking to? And they're like, what is wrong with you? I mean, don't you have an iPhone? Don't you have a Facebook? Don't you have an Instagram? I mean, are you new here? Didn't you hear the news about the so-called Messiah? I mean, that's the conversation. And they're surprised. They're like, are you, this is verse 18, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? You don't know the things that happened? And I'm imagining Luke is not writing everything, but he's selling the story. I mean, just look at verse 19 about Jesus of Nazareth. We thought that he's going to be this king to establish the kingdom, and he is dead. And look now, the real disappointment. Look at this. Verse 21. But we had, what is the next word? We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel, to establish the kingdom. We really hoped, but our hopes were crushed because he is dead. Remember that, because we'll come back to that image, but I want you to remember that. We hoped. And they continue walking, and then Jesus begins slowly to talk to them and to explain to them the prophecy. If you go to verse 25, Jesus began with the prophets, and he began to tell them the story, what could happen with Messiah, that he will die and he would be resurrected, and suddenly they recognized him. But I want you to see the image. In the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their disappointment, imagine the two disciples walking, they're disappointed. Jesus is walking with them. Do you see that? In the midst of their disappointment, Jesus is walking with them, and he's talking to them. Remember that. We'll come back to that. Story number one, the two disciples disappointed. Jesus walks with them. Let's go now to story number two, okay? Really quickly to story number two. Now, what I'm going to do now, and Bob, you can tell me if this works, but I'm going to share my screen with you. I want you to show you some pictures. Do you see the screen? Okay. Story number two, let's go to the Adventists, since this is the Adventist Heritage Month, okay? So, I teach Adventist history, I have to bring Adventism to you, right? You know this person, William Miller. He was the father of really the Advent movement. And we are talking before Seventh-day Adventism, okay? We are talking early 1840s. William Miller. William Miller began to study his Bible after the Civil War that they had here, the war with the English, sorry, that they had in this country. Miller came back to Christianity, and he decided to study his Bible. And he went verse by verse because he really wanted to get for himself, is God real? He grew in a Christian family, but he wanted to experience God for himself. So he set himself to study the Bible for about 2 years. By 1818, Miller goes to the book of Daniel. And he reaches this verse that you know, Daniel 8:14, unto 2,300 days, then the sanctuary will be cleansed, okay? And Miller begins to deal with these images of the sanctuary, and he thinks that the sanctuary is this earth, and he thinks that the cleansing will be the second coming, and he concludes that Christ would come very soon. He writes that in his autobiography, he writes that, I thought that Christ would come in about 25 years. Interestingly, Miller never set a particular date. I know that you may think that Miller was the one setting the October 22. I'm going to show you the person who did that. But Miller never set a date for the second coming, but he was studying prophecy, and he said, I think that Christ is coming very soon. Why this is important? Most Christians at that time believed that Christ would come, but after 1,000 years of happiness. Long time, okay? We need to establish the new Israel here in North America, and then Christ would come. That's what most Christians believed. And Miller comes and says, no. Actually, Christ is coming in about 25 years, but he refrained. He did not set a date. If you really want to have a good tour after COVID-19, it's over, okay? I suggest, and you can do it as a church as well, you can go to William Miller's home. That's in Lowhampton in New York. It belongs to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And it's a historical landmark. A lot of people, not only Adventists, visit that place. And there's a special tour that you can take. But that's the actual house where Miller studied his Bible. If you see here the windows on the left side, that's his bedroom. This is the place where Miller studied and concluded, based on Daniel 8:14, that Christ would come. This is inside that bedroom. My wife, she's trying to figure out Daniel 8:14, okay, and what really Miller taught. That is the room, his bed here. Inside, that is his original Bible. That's the Bible that that Miller used at that time, 1818, to come to these conclusions that Christ would come very soon. As I said, Miller did not set a date. It was this gentleman, easy to remember, SSS, okay? Samuel S. Snow. For you Canadians, you know Snow. Shouldn't be a problem, right? Samuel Snow. And what happened? As 1844 was approaching, Samuel Snow began to deal with the prophecies. And by August 1844, he concluded that the cleansing of the sanctuary, which is actually true in the Old Testament, happened when? On the Day of Atonement. You remember the priest once a year went into the most holy place. The sanctuary was cleansed figuratively from the sins, representing what Messiah would do. So some of us know, based on Leviticus, based on the sanctuary doctrine in the Old Testament, says, listen, I think the cleansing, Miller is right, but the cleansing would happen on October 22, 1844, based on my calculations for the Day of Atonement. Daniel 8:14, he said, would be fulfilled in October 20 to 1844, and there was a great excitement. Now, I want to go quickly. I want to show you the excitement, because sometimes we talk about the great disappointment. Well, they were disappointed. Okay, I want you to really see psychologically, emotionally, what these people went through. So I'm going to read you a couple of quotations, a couple of examples to see the great expectation and they to see why we call it the great disappointment. I want you to see the contrast, because these were real people that went through a real disappointment. Not only not seeing Jesus, but psychological trouble, emotional disappointment. So let me go quickly show you the excitement. I take, this is Joe Storrs, one of the leaders of the Millerite movement. So he's writing, look the date, it's October 3. Eh? It's about 20 days, to the date. And he is, you know, posting on their Facebook. It was a periodical at that time, okay? And he is just messaging people and going on Facebook. And look what he writes. I take my pen with feelings such as never before experienced. Before doubt in my mind, the 10th day of the 7th month, which is October 22, will witness the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds of heaven. We are then with a few days of that event. Awful moment to those who are unprepared, but glorious for those who are ready. I feel that I am making the last appeal that I shall ever make through the press. And he continues and gives all the biblical evidences why Christ is coming. But do you see the excitement? Hey, in a few days, man, we are going to be with Jesus. Guess who is skeptical about all that excitement? Guess who is skeptical? William Miller. Okay, because he reads the Bible and the Bible says we don't know exactly. But as the time approaches, as October 22 approaches, look what happens with Miller. He writes, okay, he writes to on Facebook, the Midnight Cry, the periodical, just 10 days before the great disappointment. Look what he writes. Dear Brother Hines, I see a glory in the 7th month, which I never saw before. I mean, he didn't believe it. Thank the Lord, O my soul. Let Brother Snow and Brother Storrs and others be blessed for their instrumentality in opening my eyes. I am almost home. Glory, glory, glory. My brother, I thank God for this light. My soul, it's so full, I cannot write. Do you see the excitement? My doubts and fears and darkness are all gone. I see that we are yet right. God's word is true. And my soul is full of joy. My heart is full of gratitude to God. Oh, how I wish I could shout. But I will shout when the King of Kings come. Do you see the excitement? And they're waiting. And they're waiting. And October 22 comes. And Christ does not appear. And the early Adventists from all denominations are so disappointed that many left their churches, left God, and lost their faith. The great expectation turned to a great disappointment. They really were excited to see Jesus, and Jesus didn't appear. So let me share with you quickly some of the disappointment. Look at this, Josiah Leach. He writes, 2 days after the disappointment, it is a cloudy and dark day here, I guess like Calgary. The sheep are scattered and the Lord has not come yet. I want to hear from you very much, he's writing to Himes and to Miller. If brother Himes is with you, I want him to write and let me know what he thinks of doing if time continues after a week from Sabbath. What are you going to do if Christ doesn't come? Hire a medicine. You know, he became a Sabbath keeper and a Seventh-day Adventist later. He said, our expectations were raised high. And as we looked for our coming Lord until the clock tolled 12 at midnight, the day had then passed and our disappointment became a certainty. Our fondest hopes and expectations were blasted, and such a spirit of weeping came over us as I never experienced before. It seemed that the loss of all earthly friends could have been no comparison. We wept and wept till the day dawned. Do you see the disappointment? Last one, the disappointment at the passing of time, and James White writes this later, was a bitter one. The love of Jesus filled every soul and beamed from every face, and with inexpressible desire they prayed, come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly. But he did not come. When Elder Himes visited Portland, Maine a few days after the passing of the time and stated that the brethren or the believers should prepare for another cold winter, my feelings were almost uncontrollable. I left the place of the meeting and I wept like a child. And this is where I took my title for this sermon, Wept Like a Child. How do you face disappointment? Where was Jesus in all of this? Where was Jesus? A good question. Christ did not appear. Many believers lost their faith. They're really emotionally crushed. And where was Jesus? Good question. So let's go and see if Jesus was there. Let's go to Ellen White's first vision. And here it's where God really speaks to the disappointed believers. That's where Seventh-day Adventism makes a contribution to the great disappointment. Ellen White, you know the name, right? If you don't ask Pastor Gena, he's going to give you a Bible study. Ellen White, one of the founders of the movement, received a vision. By the way, at that time, visions were not something unexpected, unusual. A lot of people received visions, and God works with us where we are, okay? So Ellen White receives a vision, and she is looking for the Advent people because a lot of people are losing their faith, including her twin sister. And God gives, let me read quickly what Ellen White sees in that vision and what God is telling the disappointed Adventists. Look, while I was praying at the family altar, she says, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit fell upon me, and I seemed to be rising higher and higher, far above the dark world. I turned to look for the Advent people in the world, but could not find them. When I heard a voice said to me, look again and look a little higher. At this, I raised my eyes and I saw a straight and narrow path cast up high above the world. On this path, so she sees a path, the Advent people, those who expect Jesus, were traveling to the city, which was at the further end of the path. They had a bright light set behind them at the beginning of the path, which the angel told me was the midnight cry. This light shone all along the path and gave light to their feet so they might not stumble. So she sees this path. The Adventist people are traveling. There is a light. By the way, I'll preach on that one next time, okay? But that's really the prophetic message of the Bible about the second coming. And look now how she finishes. If the Advent people, as they are traveling there, as they are disappointed, if they kept their eyes fixed on Jesus, who was just before them, leading them to the city, they were safe. But look what happens. But some grew weary and said, the city is a great way off, and they expected to have entered it before, so they were really disappointed. Look what Jesus says. Then Jesus would encourage them by raising his glorious right arm, and from his arm came a light which waved over the Advent band, and they shouted, Alleluia. Where was Jesus? Just there. And when they got disappointed to say, well, it's so hard, Jesus would wave and say, keep your eyes fixed on me. Keep your eyes fixed on me. So how do we go through the disappointment? Let me give you three perspectives and I'll finish, okay? I promise. Three perspectives. How do you go through a disappointment? Let me switch off here my screen. Okay. Number one. We have to learn that we may not have all the answers now as we go through disappointments. We have to admit that sometimes, like the disciples, like the early Adventists, like the early Millerites, we may not have the immediate answer to our disappointments. And that's very tough. Because we want to know why we go through this. The disciples were walking and wondering what happened with Messiah. But we thought, we hoped. The Millerites, I mean, they were so excited. They sold everything that they had because they believed that Jesus was coming soon. And he did not come. We have to acknowledge that we may not have all the answers now as we go through disappointments, at least for a while. Do you remember Job? Oh, I wish that I had time to give you another sermon on Job. You remember Job? Go to Job chapter 2 this afternoon, okay? I don't have time to go and read you everything. But you remember when his wife said, Job, listen, man. This God, you serve him. You try to stay faithful. And look what he brings to you. All of our kids, 10 kids, dead. All of our possession, it's gone. Curse him and die. And Job says, he replied, verse 10, chapter 2, you're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? And in all this, Job did not sin in what he said. By the way, he did the same in chapter 1. Read it. I don't have time to go, but he did the same. He said, God gave, God took away. I cannot say anything. And by the way, Job, if you read the whole book, go to chapter 23. I mean, Job, it's kind of, he's like asking questions and say, God, I cannot figure it out. But if I could see you right now, I'm going to ask you such a hard questions that I'm not sure you can give me the right answer. That's what he's saying in chapter 23. Because Job could not find a logical explanation for his suffering. Why? Because of the beginning of the book of Job. Right in the beginning, Job didn't know about the meeting, what I really call the great controversy, the meeting between God and Satan. When Satan said to God, I know why he serves you well. You remember that? Well, you've blessed him. And that's the great controversy. That's why sometimes we may not have immediately the answers to our disappointment. Lesson number two. We can be absolutely sure that although we may go through disappointments, Jesus is all the time, always walking with us. This is what we see with the disciples. They were disappointed, but Jesus was walking with them. This is what we see with the Adventists. They were disappointed, but Jesus says, keep your eyes, I'm right here. And if you get discouraged, I wave. I'll keep you on. And there's a similar image. And that's one of my favorite verses. I share it with my students like every quarter, especially now when we go through COVID. There's a great image in Isaiah chapter 21 when the Israelites are disappointed because they're in slavery. They're under Babylonian rule. And God says, you know, to them, hey, do not fear. Verse 10. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. And I like now, this is the image. I will uphold you with my right hand. Same thing in verse 13. God says, I will hold your right hand. And I love this image that you or I, we may go through disappointments and we may be looking for answers. And at the same time, God is promising that he's walking with us and he is keeping our hand. That's what we learn from Adventists. That's what we learn from the disciples. That's what we learn from Job, because God speaks to Job at the end of the book. And that's a great comforting news, that in the midst of trouble, Jesus is walking with us. And number three, one day, the Bible gives us the promise that our disappointments will be over when Jesus comes again. And that's the great news that we as Seventh-day Adventists proclaim, the third angel's message, that Jesus is coming again. You know what happened with the disciples? Really quickly, because I know my time is up. The disciples were disappointed until they saw the resurrected Jesus. You know what happened with them? With all of them, not only these two. They were ready. That's why the book of Acts describes what they did. They were ready to go and die proclaiming the message of the resurrected Savior. One day, the Bible tells us Christ is coming again. And this is the greatest news, because this is the end of sin. This is the end of disappointments. This is when we understand why we may have gone through certain unfortunate circumstances in our life. And I like this verse. I'll not read it for the sake of time, but Revelation chapter 21. John says, I saw what? A new heaven and a new earth. And then he describes a life without disappointments. He says there is no more death. There is no more tears. There is no more pain. There is no more crying. There is no more COVID-19. There is no more snow for Canadians. Okay. There is no more hospitals. There is no more divorce. There is nothing. He says, and this is verse 5. God says, I am making everything new. Do you understand? And that is a great news. So how do you go through disappointment? Well, sometimes you just stay there like Job. But we know that Jesus is always with us. And we know that one day God will come again to take our disappointment out. And I want to finish with a quote by William Miller. So I'm going to share with you. That's how Miller finished his life. Okay? William Miller. Look at the date. Just a couple of months after the disappointment. Look what he writes on his Facebook. Okay? On his Instagram. I have been waiting and looking for the blessed hope and in expectation of realizing the glorious things which God has spoken of Zion. Yes. And although I have been twice disappointed, because they expected Jesus to come, they expected Jesus to come in March, and then he was disappointed also in October, I am not yet cast down or discouraged. God has been with me in spirit and has comforted me. Brethren, hold fast. Let no man take your crown. I have fixed my mind upon another time, and here I mean to stand until God give me more light. And that is today, today, and today. By the way, the capital is his. Until he comes. And Miller dies with this hope to see Jesus without blaming him for the delay and for the disappointment. He builds this small church where he worships for the next 4 or 5 years. That's inside the church. And he dies and he's buried near to his house, waiting for Jesus to come. Friends, you may go through disappointment. You may be discouraged. But I challenge you to have the faith and the trust that Miller and many early Adventists had, not giving up on God, but living with the hope that no matter what, God is keeping your hand. And no matter what, He has promised that He will come again. And until that day, let us all look unto Jesus until He comes and takes us home. Amen. I don't know how to finish, but let me pray, and then Pastor Gena, probably you have a few announcements. Let us pray. Lord, life is tough, and sometimes it's difficult to face sickness, to face COVID, to face disappointments. But thank you for the beautiful promise that we have in the Bible, we have also in our history, that you are with us no matter what. So help us to live with that hope until you come again and take us home, I pray in your holy name. Amen.